Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Saturday, the 17th of November, recording at 3:55 Greenwich Mean Time. Now, you might recall that we'd said on comment of the day that the audio would be postponed. The big picture long-term outlook audio would be postponed until today. That was partly to give my voice a chance to recover. Owen was flying back to Ireland yesterday evening, and also to give me a chance to have a look through the markets following a memorable TCS with many, many wonderful subscribers in attendance and other interesting people as well. But now, first, a quick review of the week. And it's been a nervous week, certainly for stock markets, with most of them distinctly on the defensive. There were some exceptions there. India remains pretty robust. The Asian markets had seen less on the downside than had occurred in Europe, which was quite soft, following pressure in their bank indices, the European bank indices, that is, and the UK bank indices. And the US market was held down for most of the week, really by weak financials as well, although both managed a modest rally on Friday. In government bonds, real strength here among bond prices, breaking through some resistance levels. And we really see that from Japan through Europe and also the United States. That's interesting, and more on that in a moment. And in terms of commodity prices, now there was certainly some contagion in here today. At first, I should mention, over the week, I should say. First, we had a bit of a rebound by the US dollar. Now, it's by no means against all currencies, but on the US dollar index, it certainly lost downside momentum, and a little bit of a technical rally is underway. Here, the euro remains steady, the Swiss franc remains steady, dollar yen is at 111 overall, so the yen has been generally steady, although the dollar was up against it a little bit on Friday. But certainly that dollar free fall has ended for the time being. And precious metals were hit hard on Monday, and again on Thursday. The exception, well, that's really gold and silver, I should say. And platinum, which had weakened Friday a week ago, actually, it fell on Monday with the others, but then rallied throughout the rest of the week and has retraced at least two-thirds of its decline from the highs. In the industrial metals, lead may have broken down in here. It certainly eroded some initial support following what's been a quite overextended move on the upside, and also a loss of momentum, loss of upside momentum, evidenced by a couple of ranging patterns. And it's starting to fall back into the lower of those ranging patterns as of Friday. Among the industrial metals that have been strong all along, we see a continued rally in tin, and whereas copper, zinc, nickel are in various stages, they're still within their medium-term corrections, and on the lower side of some ranges, particularly the zinc and the nickel market. In soft commodities, lumber continues to recover. The soybeans continue to lead the grain and bean complex higher. Wheat could possibly be close to the end of its reaction and consolidation, ditto corn. and crude oil came down a bit, but then firmed and was up $1.77 on Friday. So it's bounced off that $90 level, currently 93.84. Looks like another sideways consolidation. I'm in a step sequence uptrend. Okay, so in terms of the big picture, long-term outlook, what's going on here overall? Well, starting with stock markets, we have certainly had some uncoupling, and that is with Asia and particularly the resources markets doing extremely well. And on the opposite side of this spectrum, we have had a further meltdown in the Japanese banks, the US banks, the S&P 500 banks index, although it had slowed earlier in the week, and last week managed to touch a new low on Friday. And the UK banks, European banks indices, as say, being generally under pressure. And something I've often said is that what's good for the banks is good for the rest of the market and vice versa, and that they are a lead indicator. And basically, my feeling is that when bank indices are clearly in an overall upward trend, they don't have to be outperforming, but as long as they're firm, then that allows other indices to run on the upside, or to at least remain firm. Conversely, if bank indices are clearly in a downward trend, then that really does act as a strong headwind for other indices within that market. And that's certainly what we have seen recently. And we have, over the course of the last few months, and particularly during the last few weeks, we've seen these European indices give up a fair portion of their gains achieved from the last August lows. We have seen Japan give up all of virtually of its gains from those August lows. We've seen the US give up quite a bit following a new highs for the Nasdaq and the Dow and the S&P, new highs following the August reaction lows. And we have the Dow a little bit above that sort of psychological 13,000 level. That will get taken out if we see further weakness in the US bank indices. So it's nervous time overall. The VIX eased back a little bit, but is still 25 and change. And we would really need to see that back below 20 to indicate a calmer overall environment. But again, while we've had a lot of bank disclosures, there is, of course, also the talk that we will have, further write-downs in the fourth quarter, and then there are some rumors that we'll have pretty dramatic write-downs in the fourth quarter. Looking at the shares and the indices, my feeling is that most of that news has already been discounted. I think the financial indices are beginning to look interesting. Again, I've said that, like I said that. Actually, Thursday a week ago, they were beginning to look interesting, but I certainly found them resistible because there was no technical evidence that they had bottomed. There is technical evidence that we've seen some climactic selling activity. We have also seen big percentage declines. We have quite low valuations, although the trouble is the big question marks hang over the earnings. And the earnings are certainly going to be down for a number of these banks going forward, possibly well into 2008. And therefore, there is some risk to of again of those some clear risk of those multiples moving higher just on the deteriorating earnings. So making the valuations less attractive than they are appear to be today on the historic basis of historic earnings. And also there's some risk to some of those dividends. But overall, my feeling is that this is the time to be getting interested in these depressed banks. The object of the exercise in investment, as you know, is to buy low and sell high. The best opportunities, as you know, occur when there's blood in the streets, and there's certainly blood in the banking streets, and not to mention the boardrooms. So this is an interesting sector. I think private investors can wait until we have seen evidence, technical evidence, that the banking indices have bottomed before considering any investments in that area. But my point is, my premise really is that the timing may not be right now, but it's probably not all that far away in terms of establishing some positions in that sector, and that it will be one of the great recovery candidates probably over the next 18 months. But I don't know whether that's going to be from lows in November or lows in December, or perhaps even early in the new year. But suffice it to say, we've probably seen the biggest part of that downside move overall. Now, I mentioned that as long as the banks are weak, that's going to be a drag on indices in those countries and regions. My feeling is that the banking crisis has probably lengthened the whole global economic cycle, and that is that we are seeing slowdown, economic slowdown, obviously very considerable economic slowdown in the United States, some slowdown in the UK and continental Europe. Possibly a tiny bit of slowdown may occur in Asia, although I don't think that's absolutely guaranteed. But we still have this global economic expansion, the synchronized global economic expansion underway, but only just, as I say, with the U.S. possibly skirting around to avoid a slip into the technical definition of a recession, which would be two consecutive quarters of zero growth or contraction. So we haven't seen that, and it'll be a close run thing, but the US may just avoid that. But my point that I want to make is that the cycle has probably been lengthened because this financial problem has halted the upward pressure on interest rates in Europe and also in the US, actually led to a reversal of the rising interest rates in the US. And although Bernanke signaled last time that he really kind of ended it with what I would summarize as a maybe I will, maybe I won't announcement regarding rates going ahead, I think it's absolutely certain and that he will be cutting rates further. One of the reasons is that we're, as I've said for a number of weeks, that we're going to need, and we are seeing, a classic reflation of the a recapitalization rather. We're seeing a classic recapitalization of the banking sectors through the yield curve, and that for that to occur and to be effective, they need to get short-term interest rates down low enough so that the banks can borrow from the Federal Reserve and then invest in higher-yielding U.S. treasuries and then get a on a leveraged basis and get pretty well a return that is risk-free and underwritten by the Federal Reserve. They've done it many times in the past, and that's just exactly what I feel they're doing now. So that should lead to a reasonably steady tone going forward for the next few months, continuation of the steady tone that we have seen in the long-dated government bond markets. And I've said for quite some time that that sector would remain generally firm, until investors began to worry more about rising inflation than they were worried about economic slowdown. Now, point on inflation, because when we talk about it, we really need to identify where it's coming from. And most of that inflation has come from resources prices all along. Crude oil, everybody's felt that, and also other industrial commodities, but crude oil is by far the most important of those. But then we've also seen food price inflation, and there has been plenty of that, and more in the pipeline, and that is one of the more emotive forms of inflation. And then there has been inflation created by government services, and that we have also seen certainly in many countries, not least the UK. We're not getting much inflationary pressure in terms of wages, and we're not going to, not against this background of slowing growth, particularly in the US and Europe, and not against this background of continued very tough competitive pressures due to globalization. Now, we're not going to see a monetary squeeze in any country due to food price inflation. That would be an absolute nonsense. That would just compound problems. It would be another matter if countries faced considerable wage pressure, inflation, which we saw back in the 1970s. So it's very different this time around. And I think that the future rate increases over the next 6 months will be few and far between, and there'll be far more rate cuts. My own view is that the Fed should have cut more aggressively last time, and I'm of the school that rates should go up like an escalator and come down like an elevator. I think that the Bank of England could certainly justify cutting rates next month. They probably won't, but as I said, they could certainly justify doing so, and I do expect a rate cut from the Bank of England in the first quarter. Certainly, there won't be any further rate hikes by the ECB anytime soon, and I think they could justify cutting rates, although that probably, excuse me, won't happen before the first quarter overall. Now, if we get the rate cuts that I do anticipate, and if we get a steadying by the banking shares, remember the banking shares are a discounting mechanism. The more a crisis is understood, and talked about and worried about, the more it is also discounted by markets. So I maintain again that the worst is over for those Western banks, and of course banks in Asia are, with the exception of Japan, are primarily untouched or only slightly touched by this subprime and related duff loan problems that exist. So my feeling is that when the Western banks, well, put it this way, the European, US, UK indices are likely to remain under some pressure while banks are weak. As those banks steady, and if we don't see it, well, I think we will see that this quarter. So I do expect lows for the banking indices this month or next month. And I would give that a 60% probability, at least a 60% probability that we will see lows in those banks before year end. We may see a fairly lengthy consolidation overall, a convalescence period, as I've mentioned before, in a bottoming out base building phase. That is a possibility. But as investors' fears regarding the banking sector begin to wane, and that will of course occur as those shares' relative performance improves, that will help to should help to steady the European and US stock market indices. And not only would it remove contagion from the resources and fast-growth Asian markets, we would probably see those resources and fast-growth Asian markets bounding ahead again. So that's something that I see happening possibly before year-end, but almost certainly in the first quarter of this year. As for crude oil, again, it looks like it's just consolidating gains in an overall upward trend. The driving factors here, I think it has a lot less to do with speculation than with just strong and rising global demand. Oil producers either find it difficult to increase production or are reluctant to increase production. Because, well, you and I would probably do the same if we were major producers. We'd want to get the most we could for our resource. So we wouldn't be saying, let's go flat out and produce as much as we possibly can to get the price down. We would continue to pump at the current rate and let the price remain firm to rising. And I think that's what we're going to see. Now, precious metals, well, let me take the dollar first here. I think this is just an overdue technical rally. The dollar became somewhat overextended in its downtrend. We're seeing some short covering. I don't think we'll see too much in the way of serious buying. Everybody knows that there isn't a fundamental case for the dollar going up very much. Sure, purchasing power parity is attractive in the US, but needs to be, and that will attract some more tourism and investment spending in the USA, which the economy needs. But everybody knows that the US economy is relatively weak. Everybody knows that the US administration would really like to see a somewhat softer dollar, although they can't actually say that. Everybody knows that US interest rates are going to go a little lower, and you might say, well, isn't that already now discounted by the market? Yes, in the very short term, and thus the steadier action and a little bit of a technical rally. But the best I see, as I say, is the dollar ranging overall. And that's a good thing to see that. My big concern was the dollar going into free fall, and it was beginning to look as if it might, but at least it stemmed at least in the at least for the short term. And that plus some contagion from stock markets triggered a reaction from somewhat overbought, temporarily overextended uptrends in precious metals. But as I mentioned earlier, we've already seen platinum steady considerably. I don't think that there's much additional downside in gold or silver, something that Owen and I have emphasized all along with these industrial resources, and particularly precious metals, is that they were best purchased following shakeouts. And we have seen a shakeout in gold and silver. Silver, which is always more volatile, or in particular has come back to an area where we can expect underlying trading to now cushion downside risk. And the renewed firmness of platinum that we've seen suggests that these metals can bounce back quite rapidly once sentiment improves. And if that platinum continues to push higher, here goes back and tests its high, let alone extends the overall upward trend, that will certainly send a signal to investors and traders who are watching the gold and silver and palladium markets. Incidentally, uranium also continues its recovery, and in my view, uranium remains the best of the energy stories by far. Agricultural commodities, we've had some fundamental commentary. It's been posted on the site saying that there will be some write-downs in terms of crop forecasts by the USDA come the January period, and the overall technical patterns do suggest that we could easily see higher prices in that sector. And I think that's pretty much it. I mentioned lumber looks like a recovery candidate. It had been previously quite depressed. So I'll just say enjoy the rest of your weekends. All the best until Monday.